If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
All right, this is Act 2 of the July 18th Eric Zane Show podcast. If you missed Act 1, go back and listen to it. It was good. All right, enjoy. Becky says there's a Tupelo Honey in downtown GR. I didn't know that. That's what Tyler says, too. Chris said earlier, libs of TikTok has been hurting these people. They even got a cook at Tupelo Honey locally fired. It's almost like you said that before I did. Weird. How do you do that? Jeremy says it's crazy how they go after these people, but ignore people like Ted Nugent, who said Hillary should suck his gun. This is true. He did say that. But nowadays, even if he said it now, it doesn't matter. MAGA has won. Okay? And I'm again repeating to you, you better start getting your mind around that and getting comfortable with this, because this is not leaving for a long, long time, if ever. And count on the next 4+ years being a big victory lap. A big victory lap. As much as I don't want that, it seems entirely possible that that is going to happen. I thought about this before the debate, that this is going to be coming home to roost. The rooster's coming home. Goddamn. Aram says, I think a lot of people who talk shit about Trump in public are going to vote for him. Yeah, I wonder why that is. Why would they do that? Like Ben Glaze, he said something the other day that I think made the perfect sense. He goes, I don't like either of these people. I'm not going to vote for either of them. Yeah, I understand. And I've thought about that too. But I really don't want Trump to be in there. So I'm going to take my one vote. And I'm going to use it accordingly. I'm voting for the corpse. I get tons of shit every day about that. Oops. I keep calling people I don't want to call on this goddamn line because I'm an idiot. It's been too long since we heard, well, hello, Eric Zane. Hello, Eric Zane. Becky says, hashtag team corpse. It's true.
Hey, Zane.
Mr. Kyle, how are you, buddy?
Dude, it's been so fucking long, dude. How you been, dude?
Never better, never better. How's your brain? You've been under a lot of stress with some terrible things that have happened to you in the past several weeks.
Yeah, you know, the brain took a brunt, you know, the heart took a brunt, but you know, I'm just trying to get back to functioning like a regular member of society. But yeah, stuff was wild there for a while, dude.
Yeah, man. You know, with all the shit talking we do, when you get down to it, I'm sorry that you lost your friend, and there's some other health things going on in your life that have been with friends and family that have been on your brain, and I just can't say sorry enough on the passing of Chip? No. What is
No, that was Metro, also known as Cliff.
Cliff. God damn it. I can't even remember his name. Chip Cliff. Who's Chip?
No, I was Chibs.
Chibs.
For Chibby and Joe, yeah.
Cliff passed, and that's unfortunate. He had cancer, and I just so sorry. Did Cliff have kids and shit?
No, he did not have kids, but they did do whatever that process is where you can like freeze your swimmers. His wife is going to try to do like whatever that process is. So she's going to try to have a kid, and hopefully we get a little Cliff.
That's incredible. That sounds phenomenal. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it a lot while we were up at the hospice, and I was like, yeah, man, I'm like, I can be selfish every once in a while. I hope you have a kid, and I hope it's a little boy, and I hope it's basically Cliff, and then I can have another little friend, you know what I mean?
That is something. And were you with Cliff on the final moments?
Yeah, I think he went into the hospital on June 6th, maybe June. It's all blur.
Yeah.
A little bit before my birthday. And so I just me and Blue shut our lives down because, he was my best friend and he was her best friend too. Because, as everyone knows, me and Blue grew up on the same street. So, we've all been friends for years. And, I mean, of course, Cliff is my best friend since we were five.
Right. 5 years old. Wow, that's awesome that you guys stuck together. I don't have anybody from that young of an age who I still hang with these days. Not everybody has that type of setup in their relationships.
Yeah, it's we were chuckling about it and because Cliff is so we're the reason we were best friends is like we were like complete opposites, you know, like just like the way he was and the way I was were like opposites, but they balanced. So he was a hothead for sure. And so, yeah, there were a couple of times in our history, especially, you know, in like the past maybe 5 or 6 years where, you know, he would get mad at me and he'd be like, I don't want to be your friend no more. I would just kind of laugh and be like, okay, yeah, sure, dude. Let me know when you're not so pissed.
Wow.
And so I just didn't let him not be my friend. So we had a couple, good emotionally deep moments, while we were up at the hospital and up at hospice where he was like, I really appreciate you not letting me be how I was and, shut you out. And I'm like, yeah, what do you think? You're going to just like, I wouldn't even let you kick me out. Like, what do you mean? Like, we've been friends since we were five. So there's no option for us not to be friends. So, yeah. So me and Blue, we shut down our lives basically for the 2 weeks that he was going through it, And so we were just up there 24/7 basically. So yeah, we were there, I'll tell you what, dude, cancer is fucking, I mean, it was very slow for like, I think he had it for 4 years or 3 or 4 years. So it was very slow for like the longest time. And then like once his body kind of gave up a little bit, it was fast.
Yeah.
And then we just, I saw some shit, dude. I saw some fucking shit that I didn't know the body could do, you know what I mean? And it was, so that was kind of rough to see, but he just kept kicking. And then at the end the nurses were like, that in a lot of these situations people want to pass with nobody around them, so like, because he just like I don't know what the term is, like when you just kind of like go to sleep,
yes,
like you're so he did that for 5 days like no water, no food, because he like wasn't awake, you know. So
yeah, yeah.
And the body, it just kept fucking going, dude. And like the nurses at, on so Saturday, whatever date that was, is when he kind of just went under. And then Sunday, the nurses were like, "Oh yeah, like it's probably going to happen pretty quick here." Then it was Monday, then it was Tuesday, and then all the way till Thursday, he just kept kicking. And then we all just like went down the hall to grab some lunch, and then that's when he passed.
Right.
So then, yeah, it was right. Like the nurse was, he just didn't want us around, I guess, for that moment.
I've heard that so much.
But we weren't there, just down the hall.
I have heard that so many times. Okay, where the hearing is the last to go, and they don't want to leave, or they don't want this to happen with you around, and that was dictated to my wife when her dad passed. And so she said, "Dad, I'm leaving. I'm walking out, and I'm not coming back. It's okay to go." And then she walked out. And by the time she got in the elevator, that was it. And
yeah, that's just crazy, man. It's just crazy. I was, as we were waiting for it to happen, you know, we all had like a couple of various moments where like we thought it was going to happen. So we would do like, you know, like one person in the room at a time to just like talk to him, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Like, how do we fucking know? Like, maybe he has no clue how to die. You know what I mean? Like, maybe he does. Like, I mean, how can we say? You know, like, is it easy? Is it hard? So I was just sitting there kind of like telling him stories I heard from like near-death experiences. And like, you know, there's TV shows about people who talk about that stuff.
Right, so right.
I was just kind of telling him about stories I heard. And, you know, like one lady was like, "Yeah, like I just saw colors that like don't exist. Like Jesus. Our eyes can't see it. Like I saw a new color." So I was like, "Yeah, dude, if you see a fucking color that you don't know, dude, that's, you're doing it right." You know?
And so, Jesus. Yeah, that's yeah. And then the people at hospice, I always hear like the level at which these professionals perform is like, it's as efficient and as mystifying as to how great they are at it as like when you watch someone who's really good at like Tom Brady. When we would see Tom Brady at his best, like, how's he doing that? He's so perfect. They're like that when it comes to administering medicines, understanding what is happening and dictating that to the loved ones. It's hospice crews are always great.
Yeah. Yeah. They were great actually. We were reflecting on it afterwards. And, so when he went into the hospital, he wanted to be on hospice, but like, so he had like he was at home from like March till June. It was just like, you know, in a lot of pain and very uncomfortable and a lot of stuff going. I won't get into the gory details there.
Yeah. But, yeah.
And so he, wanted to be on hospice. So then he went to the hospital cause, you know, his kidney levels were all messed up and there's like a bunch of stuff going on. So they were like, the doctor was like, "Listen, dude, like, do you want us to fix this? Or like, are you going to go into hospice? Because like, you know, we don't understand like what you're trying to do, you know?" And so, they were trying to fix him for a bit, until, you know, the body was like, "No, dude, like it's over, you know?" And then we got to the hospice and like, obviously it's kind of hard to wrap your head around like, the difference of what they're trying to do, you know? So like for example, like he had like a lot of bags attached to him, you know, like for different various things.
Yeah,
and like at the hospital, they're like trying to empty it and like flush it and like all this type of stuff. Then you get to hospice and they're like, obviously not going to do that. Cause they're just like trying to help him pass, you know? And like, so we have like no sleep, you know, and I'm like, what the fuck are these people doing, dude? And I'm like, and then I'm like, "Oh yeah, dude. Like they're not trying to, make them comfortable." So
yep.
It was just wild, dude.
Yeah. That's interesting because, while that was all happening, my, brother's wife, my sister-in-law, same diagnosis, same process. She passed in or around the exact same time in a very similar way to your pal Cliff. And so we were kind of like trading texts with each other about like, yeah, this is happening right now. And it was weird how similar things were happening to both of these people that were affected by this type of cancer.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I was like amazed. Like we were just kind of shooting the shit about just life in general. And I'm like, you know, like, yes, it's true. Like the human body is like beautifully constructed and like a mechanical, like beautiful dream of like how great, like, but I'm like, But you get like one thing that like goes wrong, you know, and then it's like the body's like, that's it, dude, we're shutting her down. And then like for one thing that I thought it was kind of not funny, but like, you know how like just things that happen in life that you're like, that's the universe's sense of humor right there. So he was like in hospice and it was like ugly and stuff was going bad. And then like his body was getting cold and stuff. And then like randomly it got warm and we're like, okay, what the heck's going on? And then the nurse was like, oh yeah, he has a fever. Like his body's trying to burn off. So, and I'm like, you're telling me that he has cancer and like his whole body's all fucked up, you know? And I'm like, and then you're telling me like the body's going to go, hey, let's kick into a fever, see if we can try to beat this thing. No, dude, like the fever ain't gonna do it, you know. So it just kind of cracked me up that I'm like, the body is just like, all right, let's keep trying, dude. And I'm like, no, dude, the fever ain't gonna do it.
Yeah. Now I don't know if this has ever happened, but I you know, if it has happened, that's amazing. But I want to be the guy who's in hospice and then is hanging on for so long that they decide, you know what? We're going to stop trying to kill him and see if we, and then I actually like get brought back and then end up somehow beating the cancer, like some crazy upset. And then, you know, a year later, I'm like, fuck that. I even beat hospice. Fuck you.
Right. Yeah. We talked about that because, like when you're like losing sleep and stuff and, you know, we are all like around each other 24/7. So you get into deep conversations and, he got baptized like a couple weeks before he went to the hospital, or maybe like a week or two before he went to the hospital, because he was like getting spiritual and getting, you know, all that type of stuff.
Okay.
And so we were just kind of talking about that, and like as the process happened, you know, you try to mix like religion type stuff with like science and like what's going on in the body, and I'm like, I was like not upset, you know, because I'm a rational, like logical type person, and I was like, man, I was like, As this was happening, I was like, where's God, you know? Cause like Cliff was like, dude, like take me, like this sucks. Like I want to be gone, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, but then like on the science side of it, you know, like there's, I guess like science things or whatever about how there's a certain type of fasting you can do where, essentially like it, and I don't remember how many hours it was and how you had to set it up, but essentially your body starts eating the inside of the cells where the cancer is, you know, so it can try to get rid of like the bad stuff in it while you're fasting. And so anyways, then we're talking about it and I'm like, man, he seems like he survived 5 days with no food and water because his body was just eating the cancer, you know what I mean? Like eating all the cancer.
Right.
So I'm like, I wonder if like at the moment he passed, if he was cancer free, you know what I mean? Like, cause he just kept going. I mean, like 5 days is like unheard of, you know?
Yeah. That's an interesting thought about whether or not that could actually happen.
Yeah. I don't know. And of course, I mean, you can never really get an answer, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
You started digging into the body, but like, why would you do that? So it was just weird. I was like, man, it's like his we're just like, all right, we're just going to wait for his body to go, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that is, that was quite significant. I'm really glad you were able to share that with them. And not everybody has a friend who has quite a relationship like you had with him. So that's really great. I'm glad you got to experience that. But I'm sad that you're sad, and sad for everybody in his family too, you know?
Yeah, you know, yeah. Me and Blue, when we were talking about it, I was like, you know, like, you know, how do you know what is the right thing to do in those situations? I was like, but to me, the right thing to do is just to be here 24/7.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? Like, and we had like a lot of, you know, jockeying to do with like, what are we going to do with JMO? And like, what are we going to do? You know, like all this stuff. But I was like, no, like we got to figure it out.
Uh-huh.
We just got to be here. So
did, I'm sorry. I interrupted you. Finish. What
oh,
you
no,
said.
No, that's okay. I said, because I forgot what the last part of the sentence was, so we're cool.
Did, since you guys were all like the three amigos in the neighborhood, did anybody try to steal the girl? Like, did you like ever steal her from him, or did he ever try the same thing because Blue was in the neighborhood and these two kids are stuck together like thieves? Might have gotten.
Oh, you know what? That's actually a funny story. So, so we grew up in the same street. So I met her, Blue, when I was like 8 or 9 or something like that. And then Cliff, you know, knew of her a little bit just because from coming over to my house and stuff. But then in high school, she was either a freshman or a sophomore when we were seniors, and he was into her at that time. So like, there, like when he like went to like homecoming with her or something like that, and was like trying to like spark up a relationship. Uh-huh. Like they like somewhat had like a little relationship, but she was like very young, you know. So kind of like, I didn't steal her from him because like that was just like a very, very short couple week thing, you know? But yeah, so like that's really the reason they were best friends, is because they're like, hey, we're friends, dude. Like, this is not like, we're not into each other. This is, we'll just be friends. So, yeah, we've all just been together since then, really.
Well, dude, I can't say enough about you as a friend. So I'm sorry that happened to you. I hope you guys feel better soon. I think that's where we should leave our conversation, frankly. What do you think?
Yeah, hey, I'm down with it. I will say to anybody who watches your show and also watched the Chibian show, go on there, man, and watch them, because like I've been watching them basically nonstop since then, you know, because it's fucking, we had a good time. I mean, it was fun and we laughed our asses off. So those are good memories. But if anybody knows Cliff or from our show that watches your show, like, feel free to hop on there and reminisce a little bit, because those were good fucking times.
Go back into the chat when you get a second. There's tons of nice comments that are made by the folks who are all thinking about you. So that's all there right now.
Appreciate you, folks.
All right, buddy. Well, just think, we are now 9 days away from Detroit Lions training camp.
Hell yes, dude. That is so, and we're going back to the 90s jersey. I'm excited for this year, man.
Yeah, it's coming, man. Look out. You thought last year was good. I sure hope we don't get let down, you know?
Right.
All right, peace, buddy. Love you.
All right, love you guys. Deuces.
See ya. There you go. That is Kyle. That's that kind of puts a fine point as to where my man's been, what's going on. He's been kind of dealing with this. There was I think someone else in his friend circle got sick, or another loved one. We didn't really get into it, but all very nice of you to say the things that you all did. Very, very cool. All right. I wanted to go back to a comment made by Jeremy about the election. He writes, Trump is winning regardless. You know, there's been talk about step down. It's the only chance we have. Jeremy says Trump is winning regardless. So he says he's going to vote third party to send a message to the Dems that their candidates are not what the country needs. Hey, it's Eric Zane here to tell you about my new favorite marketing partner, Mint Mobile. For the longest time, we've been paying way too much for our cell phone service, our plans, whatever it is, mobile device, whatever you want to call it. Every so often, they like put the screws to you just a little bit at a time. You don't even notice. Next thing you know, you check out the bill. You're like, wait a minute. This is not what I decided to pay for. What has happened? Okay, forget all of that. You can skip it all right now. Everything is about to change for you. Mint Mobile is the key. With Mint Mobile, you'll never, never have to worry about gotchas ever again. That's what I'm talking about, where they slowly raise your prices that you pay. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, they mean it. Say goodbye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All the plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You're like, easy, tell me more. This is all you do. I did this. All my family has done this, and you should too. To get the new customer offer and your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Zane. That's good anywhere. mintmobile.com/Zane. Cut your wireless bill from whatever ridiculous amount that you're paying each month to $15 a month. mintmobile.com/Zane. Pay attention to this legalese. $45 upfront payment. That is equivalent to the $15 a month for 3 months. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower, 40 gigs on unlimited plan. Don't even worry about that. I use that, and it's no big deal. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. That may be what a lot of undecideds do, or ones that were decided. I don't know, were you originally thinking that you were going to vote for Biden, or did you never even consider that at any point? My God. We live in historic times for damn sure. We are living through history right now, and I mean, like, memorable history. Like, if you think back to other presidencies, what was memorable about other presidencies? Ford, Gerald R. Ford, he barely half a term, if at all. He took over for Nixon and lost the reelection campaign to Jimmy Carter. Ford probably known most for pardoning Nixon. Carter. When I think of Carter, what stands out to me, what I remember about him and his legacy, was he was weak. The country, there was a meteoric rise in inflation. America was really getting beat up in manufacturing. The cars we made sucked. And then the botched rescue attempt of the Iranian hostages. All the people that were ripped out of the American embassy in Iran and held hostage for like a long, long time. More than a year. Maybe even more than 2 years. Carter said, I'm going to get him out. And then he did a black ops. And fucking it tanked. It was horrible. People died. Reagan. Right when Reagan won, on the day he was inaugurated, those same hostages were freed. I think of Reagan. I think about the space program, Reaganomics, trickle-down economy, conservatism, and Wall Street making tons of money. God, people were making money. Then George W. Bush. Read my lips. No new taxes. Then he raised the taxes. Oh, God damn it. Clinton. Lewinsky. Impeachment. Reelected. Those are things I remember about Clinton. George W. went to war with a country that had nothing to do with 9/11. Completely destroyed Afghanistan and Iraq. And then had to rebuild it. That's all I remember from that guy. Remember weapons of mass destruction? There was nothing there. After that, it was Obama. What do I remember about Obama? Nothing. First black president. Everybody hating him. The death of Osama bin Laden was on his watch. After that, Trump. What stands out with that? Frankly, a lot of hatred. To me, his legacy is he led the charge of all these marginalized alt-right scumbags who finally had a voice. Thus, that thrust us into the era of treat people who aren't white like shit. That's what Trump's presidency, his legacy, in my opinion, is. After that, Biden. Parkinson's. Ineptitude. Silence. Nothing. That's what I have on the top of my brain about these about our presidents. Tyler throws out Obamacare. Yep. Aram says, I still don't know how Biden's administration screwed up our exit from Afghanistan. Jeremy adds, I was 50-50, Biden or no vote. If the Democrats run anyone else, I'll vote for that person. Wait a minute. Didn't you just say that Trump's going to win regardless? And that, so that's why you're voting third party? You can't say that and then say if they run someone else, you're going to vote for that person. You just said two things there, ding dong. Yeah, you said just a minute ago, hey, I'm voting third party because no matter what happens, we're going to lose. And then chat later, if the Democrats run anyone else, I'll vote for that person. I'm confused. You're confusing me. All right. Let's see. What can we talk about now? Let's cleanse the palate because there are some more things that I have to talk about that could be politics, but I like to break them up. Because if I just go all politics all the time, which that's kind of like the flavor of the month right now, considering what we're in, what's happened with the assassination attempt. It's a gigantic news item. The subsequent failures by the Secret Service and how that was. That's a gigantic story. But if I start to like put all these together, people are going to get frustrated with what I'm doing. And I don't want that. That's called caring about the content you put out. Okay.
We'll give you the item. You tell us if it goes in the fridge.
That's called not caring about what you put out. Adam said one thing I think that it will happen is the stock market will climb under Trump. It's climbed under Biden. Americans are doing a hell of a job at producing and being valuable. And people are believing that and buying into it. Bob said it's not going to be Biden. He said he'd drop out over health issues, and now he has COVID. That's true. He does. And I wonder if that when he made that statement, we were starting to get set up for it. That was the start of the setup. Like, this is already in motion. He makes that statement, well, if it's a health issue. And then suddenly he gets COVID. Is that going to, no, that's probably temporary. Is that going to do it? Probably not. But maybe that's part of the picture. Maybe in all of this, it's revealed that he does have Parkinson's. I don't know. Chris K says the stock market climbs no matter who's in office. That's what it does. You remember when Trump lost or when he was running in 2020, he said, you got to put me in because if you vote for Biden, your 401k is going to suffer. It hasn't. It hasn't at all. Kenny adds, I don't care who the president is anymore. Half the country always hates whoever it is. All I know is food and rent costs keep going up, and I'm sick of this economy. It's a great point. But I don't know if we can blame that on the presidency. By the way, the stump grinders are outside of the house right now. They're making a hell of a racket. You may have been able to hear them from my good friends over at Kuiper Tree Care. They are a great sponsor. By the way, if Biden does announce it ever during one of my shows, please, 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 let me know. Put it in on the chat. Kenny says, I'm not blaming the president. Okay. Hawk Tua is hard at work. This is what you do when you become a viral sensation. You got to take your time. I think she's making some money on Hawk Tua clothing and hats and apparel and merch. But she's also doing this. She's taking her internet fame and she did something to help pets. Okay. Let's get into this. Here you go. By the way, cute as a button. She is absolutely a cutie.
Counting down my last 15 minutes. Everybody in the comments is saying hi, I have 15 minutes of fame. And if that's the case, then I'm going to spend it doing something good today.
She always does this look where she's kind of batting her eyes in a oh, fuck you type of way. She says, yeah, I might as well spend my last 15 minutes doing something good.
I'm counting down my last 15 minutes. Everybody in the comments is saying, hi, I have 15 minutes of fame. And if that's the case, then I'm going to spend it doing something good. Today, we're taking all of this down to the local animal shelter and donate.
On
the
PetSmart and Splurge.
Just to watch him shed. She is buying,
what are you
all,
asking about?
Buying all the shit and giving it away.
A month ago, I couldn't afford that.
Where do I dump this?
Oh, you sit right here in the chair?
They're bringing me somebody named Blondie. I think we'll get along great.
See, she's funny. She's perfect for the type of silly saccharine type of reality venture that a lot of people would watch. I don't know if I'd watch it, but she's just wacky and silly enough and cute enough to make it work. Something about that chick. I'm telling you, she's got talent.
She does not like cats, and she has also been here over 130 days, and she needs a new home. Come get this girl. Look at her.
Oh, no.
Oh, the one dog is humping the other one.
If you're about Juliet Animal Care and Control, please come adopt these cool little kitty cats and dogs. Just take all of them home. Every single one of them. Right now.
Push it down. Push it down. What the fuck? Yeah, she's fun. Mount Juliet. That's in Kenny's neck of the woods. Right? Chris says, agreed, she needs a reality show. Aram said, did she say Mount Juliet? Yeah, that's right by you guys, right? I know she's from Nashville or some shit like that. Jimmy says, I love the Southern accent. Tyler said she missed an opportunity when the dogs were humping. She should have said, you got to give him the hawk to her. Oh, you're right. You need to be her joke writer. Oops. Something just happened. Yesterday, during the show, the folks from the tree care company, Kuiper Tree Care, those five boys that were here to rip down that tree. Now, I had blasted that hornet's nest with the spray, but it wasn't enough because they're looking at it and they go, still pretty active in there. Do you have any more spray? And I said, no. And they're like, This dude, Keenan, the one who adopted Maureen's foster dog, Jet, now known as Walden, he looked the most concerned. So then I went inside and I found a couple more cans of the spray. So then we let him have it. And then they cut the branch down. They already had the wood chipper on, backed into the driveway. And then they stuck the branch, which had the wasp nest still on it. There's a video of it on Facebook with all the foam dripping off of it and the wasp going, fuck you. And then he ran the branch with the nest in it in through the chipper. So he basically ground up the wasps. Can you imagine them like, what the fuck? I said to him, I go, dude, have you ever ground up a squirrel accidentally? He goes, no. Birds, yes. I go, what happened? He goes, well, they fly in there. They fly into the fucking thing. We don't stick them in there. Ryan says that branch seemed really low to the ground, especially in front of the garage. You're telling me that tree was out of control. It's been there. I counted the rings. It's been there 26 or 27 years, which is approximately the age of this house. And so it's been there since the beginning. And it's a piece of shit. Pear tree. My neighbor, Don Gouda, the big cheese, he's in charge of the Neighborhood Homeowners Association. He goes, thank God you're getting rid of that fucking thing. I go, I know, Dono. It's terrible. He goes, you know they're invasive. Those pear trees are invasive. They're not even natural. Some dickhead brought them in from Europe. They rot from the inside. The limbs break off all the time. I go, I know. That's what happened to me. I was trying to cut it with a goddamn chainsaw and it broke. Jesus. But those boys did a great job. And that's great. The connection that Maureen knows the guy Keenan, the dude who was out there. Those guys are super professional. You should reach out to them. KuiperTreeCare.com. All right. Before I go a second further on this show. Boy, that was so sad talking to Kyle. I loved it, though. I thought it was good. It would have been weird to talk anything about anything else other than his pal, Cliff. Of course, I couldn't remember his friend's name. Of course I couldn't remember his name. I called him Chip. What an asshole. Jesus. How does anybody even like me, frankly? God. All right. God bless the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Thank you to Mario for getting Jackie and Justin in on that great, getting them pre-approved on that great mortgage, getting them approved for $360,000. That helped because the house that they wanted started at 310, went all the way up to 350. They kept upping their bid, and because of you, they got the house. Buy now, refinance later. The rates are a little wacky. Like 2 weeks ago, they were 7.25. 2 days ago, they were 6.5. So things are weird right now. Ultimately, they will continue to fall, though. And I want you to call Mario when you're ready to get into your mortgage. 231-332-6505 from anywhere in the U.S. 231-332-6505. Buy now, refinance later. Joe Martinez, if your AC is on the fritz, think about Joe. He can put in a new AC for you, 616-516-8579 or aeheatingcooling.net. Reach out to Joe, not only for the AC and tuning that up, but also for your furnace. Whether you need a brand new install or you need service to the old beast, keep A&E Heating and Cooling in mind. 616-516-8579. Last but not least today, Berlin Raceway. I'm going racing Saturday. I'll see you for the Coleman Lutz 500. That's Freebeer's wife's ex, Coleman Lutz. He's my pal. We're going to go to the event and talk shit about Freebeer in the bleachers. BerlinRaceway.com. So you buy the ticket, $14. And then let me know that you got there. Send me either a text. A lot of you have my phone number. An email or on Messenger. Easy, we're here. Where are you? We can hang out. I'll introduce you to Freebeer's wife's ex. And we'll say something nasty about Greg and have an awesome time. BerlinRaceway.com for tickets. They are $14 in advance, $18 at the gate. Parking is free. And, of course, kids 15 and under are free. Coleman and Matt are going to be a party of, I think, 14? That is awesome. Bunch of kids. And it'll be fun. BerlinRaceway.com. Hang out with Coleman, Matt, H, and myself that weekend. This coming weekend. All right. Jeremy says enough tree talk. Leave that to Hot Wings. Adam makes fun of me about the disaster yesterday on Patreon. Every day at sea, I fuck up my Patreon somehow. Either post it late, forget to post it entirely. When I post it, what is a 40-minute show? I post 15 minutes of it because I'm a cock. Tyler writes, yeah, easy. I thought the same thing. Of all the times to forget a guy's name, that's probably the worst. Chip? God. Maureen says, say what you will about Kyle. That dude is a deep thinker. He's no dummy. I'm impressed by him. What a great friend. That's what a lot of you said. You said, boy, you are a wonderful friend. You are a wonderful friend to your pal Cliff. I don't really have anybody like that. I mean, I have my best friend Jimmy. But we've never been in a fight, and then during the fight, it's like, well, I don't care about the fight. We're still friends forever. I love you. I don't think I'd ever fight with my pal, Jimmy. All right. Hire me on Cameo, cameo.com/Eric Zane. Sorry about the short show. Yesterday's asshole today was Kimberly Cheadle. She runs the Secret Service. She needs to resign. That was ugly. But your asshole of the day today, who do you think it's going to be? Who can it possibly be? Your asshole of the day today. I can't really think of anybody. Ah, I got a good one. It's got a great asshole today. Brought to you, of course, by our friends at TC Paintball. Asshole of the day is cancer. Amen to that. Rest in peace to Chip Cliff, Cliff Chip. Thank you for being here. And I'll talk to you on the Patreon. Till then, folks, have a good one. Thank you and bye-bye.